You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
Our next speaker is Ivan Said, a research analyst of UNMISS, and he's going to talk about SSE as a means of transformation to protect human rights of refugees and migrants.
Every human being, every person is inherently a right holder, regardless of their nation, location, language, religion, ethnic origin, or any other status. Citizen may be or non-citizen. This is one of the main principles derived from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other international rights instruments. States, in turn, assume the principal role of guaranteeing these rights, or as it is put in the language of human rights-based approach, states are the principal duty bearers. In other words, states have the obligation to respect, the obligation to protect, and the obligation to fulfill. Despite the rapid development in human rights instruments and mechanisms around the world, recent years, particularly since 2008 global financial and economic crisis, have seen growing number of individuals, families, and communities driven to the margins of the state, while precarious jobs and limited protection looming over the future. In response to the global crisis, market and government failure in particular, and the fracture of the social contract upon which notions of legitimacy and compliance are ultimately grounded, we have witnessed in the last decade a surge in old and new forms of collective action to meet the emerging needs. Social and solidarity economy embodies, or SSE, embodies one of these forms of collective actions. SSE is an umbrella term that refers to organizations and enterprises that produce goods and services while operating on principles of participatory cooperation, solidarity, equity, distribution of benefits, and democratic self-governance. These organizations typically include cooperatives and other forms of social enterprises, mutual associations, self-help groups, community-based organizations, associations of informal economy workers, service provision NGOs, fair trade networks, and other forms of solidarity purchasing. They also comprise various forms of social and solidarity finance institutions, such as saving and credit cooperatives, complementary currency schemes, and ethical banks, among others. In the absence of the state and the failure of mainstream development strategies that center on economic growth to address the rising social, environmental, and economic challenges, SSE organizations have assumed the role of moral duty bearer in many parts of the world. A growing body of evidence shows that SSE organizations can promote the social, economic, cultural, and political rights of people, both as individuals and as a collective, and contribute to more equitable communities and possibly societies. There is also an increased interest in SSE organizations' potential capacity to act as a means of implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals and contribute to one of the overarching principles of the 2030 Agenda, to leave no one behind. SSE overall has both emancipatory and developmental potential. This is particularly reflected in the form of production, exchange, and consumption activities it pursues, which tend to integrate some combination of economic, social, environmental, and cultural objectives, as well as political dimension of participatory governance and empowerment. While market relations are often present within SSE, the profit motive remains secondary to other objectives. In this sense, SSE organizations' objectives and mode of operations can play an important part in promoting human rights and empowering the most vulnerable in our societies. SSE organizations' activities and objectives are often associated with basic needs provision, livelihood security, local economic development, social protection, equity, and light ecological footprint. SSE organizations create more sustainable jobs, which evidence show are relatively less prone to economic downturn compared to other industries. They generate income, promote decent work, and provide affordable access to services such as health, education, and daycare. SSE also facilitates the integration of women into the labor market since it allows them to balance the public and private spheres. Furthermore, SSE organizations, in particular agricultural cooperatives, collective farming initiatives, are critical to achieving food security, improving nutrition, promoting sustainable agriculture, conserving biodiversity, and protecting natural resources. In this sense, SSE can contribute not only to promoting the right to environment, which is more anthropocentric in nature, but also to promote more biocentric approach that promotes the rights of environment. SSC organization operating principles and ethics promote democratic values since they use democratic decision-making processes, whether it be consensus with unanimity, supermajority voting, or consensus minus one or two, etc. These measures reinstate agency and a sense of responsibility in the members of SSC organizations. They also generate sense of connection, trust, and increase well-being and social cohesion. They moreover contribute to the empowerment of marginalized and discriminated against groups by increasing their bargaining power vis-a-vis the state and the hegemonic culture of society. Thus far, I have intentionally drawn a rosy picture of SSC. It is important to note, however, that SSC faces multiple constraints. For instance, unfavorable structural context, imbalanced power relations with external actors and institutions, trade-off between different objectives and weak internal governance often constitute a major impediment for SSC organizations and enterprises. Moreover, the role of SSC organizations in humanitarian crisis and their potential capacity to address the emerging needs have yet to be fully explored. This brings us to this side event and to UNRWA's project in collaboration with the University of Geneva and others in particular, where we aim to explore the potential of SSC in relation to promoting the rights of refugees and migrants by simultaneously highlighting the limits and constraints it faces in this endeavor, particularly in times of austerity and populist politics, as my colleague Maria Maxi will explain later. In many countries, Greece, for example, among many others in Europe, Latin America, Asia, and Africa, government have introduced legislations to promote and support SSC organizations. This support is certainly vital for SSC organizations and for the community they support. The current political development in Latin America, nevertheless, particularly in light of the unfolding events in Venezuela and with the apparent shift to the right in countries like Brazil and Argentina, raises questions regarding the sustainability of both public policies for SSC and the implications this might have on SSC organizations themselves. It is therefore equally important to promote institutional resilience of these organizations and ensure their sustainability independently from government support, something which certainly requires innovative collective action to achieve.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unrwa.org. Thank you for listening.